The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will go to Mexico City, where tonight's Cardinals game is. My buddies at my former place of employment, long before I launched this, over at CBS 5 and Channel 3, Arizona's Family, Gibby Parra and Mark McClune will be joining us from Mexico City with the vibe and the beat. They'll be zooming on in here, and we will get the vibe for tonight's game. Sounds like it's going to be Colt McCoy. Should it be Kyler Murray? If the Cardinals win with Colt McCoy, do we have a quarterback controversy? I want to know how much money and their per diem are they spending on cervezas and where they're eating and all that nonsense, all the fun stuff. Whenever you go on the road, we will have Gibby and Mark joining us from Mexico City here in a few minutes. Get you ready for tonight's game. The John Wilner segment is today. As always, Wilner Hotline, all things Pac-12, national voice, none knows it better. We'll have John Wilner with us on a week where, you know, the weekend first, the USC-UCLA game was as good as anything. The TV contract, I'm sure the Big Ten people are saying, yeah, it doesn't suck that we're going to have USC or UCLA at our disposal for late night games. I'll be really interested to see the ratings on that. And then we have the Territorial Cup, and where does it really stack up? You know, for some of you, you are all excited for another year of two teams that are not going to a bowl game, but this is personal. This is what it's all about. And I'm just kind of like, yeah. Of course, I didn't go to either school, so I just, the blowback on me is, well, you're not from here. You don't understand how personal and the bets and the this and the that. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Guilty. Guilty. I didn't go here. I didn't go to either school. I don't care. But it's not, I've been a part of big rivalry games, gone to them. I've been to Ohio State, Michigan. This is nothing. This is a blip. I've been to USC, UCLA. Not as that big of a rivalry because it's, you know, we're Southern California. We're cool, man. But the other night, that was fun. Stanford, Cal, no. Stanford, Notre Dame, yeah. Washington, Washington State, no. Washington, Oregon, yeah. Colorado, Utah, no. So just because you've been playing a long time doesn't mean anything. These two teams, once again, are not going to a bowl game. And that, to me, is abject failure on a season. That's that. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union, and we do appreciate their support. We'll get really into the Cardinal game in a bit, but I just feel like tonight it's going to be a low-scoring game, famous last words, because I don't think the Cardinals are going to be able to move it on the 49ers defense. Conversely, when you have Christian McCaffrey and you have Debo Samuel and you have Brandon Ayuk and if Garoppolo has time to throw, it feels to me like the 49ers should be able to get up and down the field. It comes down to special teams. I don't know what the conditions of the field are going to be like. Whenever they have these games in other stadiums, other parts of the world, but in Mexico, there have been problems with the field and the footing and the turf. I'm not there. I can't tell you if that is going to be the case tonight, but usually it is. And so I'll be looking forward to that side of it. And all in all, this is a cool game. Yes, Monday Night Football, big stage. You're in Mexico City. The crowd, from my understanding, will be primarily 49er fans. That doesn't mean one thing or another to me, but we will check in with Gibby and Mark here in about 8 to 10 minutes thereabouts. I had a very good weekend. Friday night, I was high school dad on the sidelines watching Castile, where my son goes to school, play. Saturday morning, I was high school dad. We made breakfast burritos. We handed them out to these kids. We had boxes of Bosa donuts. These kids just came in and devoured them. It was cool just hanging out. This is my final go-round after four kids of being a high school dad. So I'm going down with a blaze of glory. It was a great time. And then I watched a ton of football. Some of it wasn't good. I sat here in my man cave and took in Oregon State ASU. Not a good game. The same time I was taking in U of A Washington State. Not a good game. At the same time, I was able to flip over to Notre Dame in the snow against Boston College. Wasn't a good game in terms of score. It was a heck of a lot of fun to watch. Like, I love watching games in the snow. Who doesn't? The NFL moving the Bills-Browns game yesterday indoors because of safety for fans and trying to get to the stadium. I don't know. I thought it was so cool. The Bills fans were snow blowing out guys' driveways on the Bills team. Like, fans showed up. Bills Mafia showed up. When I hear Big Red this and Big Red that, it's a few people. In Buffalo, that's all there is. You know, and so I just thought that was so cool to see them digging out the players so they could get on a plane and get to Detroit. But I much rather would have had it been played in a space where the cameras couldn't even see the field. There were times in that Notre Dame-Boston College game on Saturday, you didn't know where the goal line was. They had like the yellow line for the first down, and that was it. Guys are standing on the sidelines, and the snow's piling up on their jerseys. We like that. We do. And then Saturday night, UCLA-USC was every bit the part. Every bit the part. I thought my Heisman vote was done. It's not done now. I can't talk about it, but it's not done. In terms of Arizona State, is this the week? Is this the week? Friday, I went to a very nice event that ASU put on. Very nice event. They do good events when they do the Legends Lunch. It's a nice event. Downtown Sheridan, well done, well produced, great room. Ray Anderson walks up on stage. A lot of stuff going on as all you know. And he was searching. And then I can't stay, I got to go. It's the second time I've seen major events where I can't. It's the football deal. You got to be able to clear out your schedule. Unless behind the scenes there's a lot going on, and I do believe that there is. Talked to quite a few people over the weekend and at that event, and I believe the NCAA is intentionally dragging their feet. They've been intentional about doing this because ASU's been like, nope, no problem here, no fire there, and they're just going to grind them. This search firm, is it really a search firm for a head coach, or is it a search firm for the athletic director? I think this Saturday needs to be Black Saturday. I wrote it. Black Friday's this Friday. Go out and get your deals. Black Saturday, ASU cleans house. Game ends on Friday. That's it. As much as I'd like Sean Aguano to be the coach, can't happen, I don't believe, with the losing. I just think the people that are going to support him on the booster end. You know, Sean did something again that I loved. On Friday, he showed up at the event at the Sheridan. He came in to talk to the 1982 Fiesta Bowl champion team that beat Oklahoma. He showed up. He showed up dressed nice, didn't show up in his football stuff, walked in there, shook hands, spoke to the team. He's doing little things that are big things to people. You know, I can make an argument that he should be the guy. I can. He's inherited a roster that's not his. If you look at the players that he has recruited, Xvalide is another Sean Aguano recruit. Rashad White, Sean Aguano recruit. If the previous administration had screwed up, Bijan Robinson would have been here. That's, you know, it's a just tragic what's happened on so many local players that have been out of here. But, you know, the arrogance has to stop. There's nothing to be arrogant about when your program is, again, not bowl eligible. And once again, we're in another space where Arizona State is going to blow out their coach. And I look at the athletic director and say, it's about time. You know, Ray's been here about as long as Kevin White, about as long as Gene Smith, about as long as Steve Patterson, about as long as Lisa Love, Charles Harris. It's about time. Yeah. And so it doesn't really matter to me who they hire. If they want to hire Kenny Dillingham, fine. The track record shows that above him, there's issues and problems. Kenny Dillingham's doing a nice job as an offensive coordinator at Oregon. If he needs anything, Uncle Phil is on the phone. Phil Knight, that's it. Kenny Dillingham ever coached? Ever been a head coach, I mean? So, yeah, I mean, he's got a great tree around him, and look at what he's done with Bo Nix. And I would say, well, yeah, that program has been rolling for a long time with big offensive linemen who can play and skill talent that can play and go get guys that can play. Arizona State? Yeah. I mean, even down to the NIL stuff, they have it all figured out. So I feel like this is the week where things are going to happen. There's some people that are indicating it's a week, but no, this thing just keeps dragging along. And I really believe the NCAA is just making ASU's life miserable by saying, yeah, you guys aren't really admitting much of anything. You're pretending like all's well. And it's not. In terms of the game, you know, U of A looked awful against Washington State. Or is it Washington State's defense is that good? ASU, you know, Borgay, I think, is playing hurt. I know he is playing hurt. The coach talked about it. I don't believe that he has near the skill talent around him or the offensive line help around him. I was doing what any good man would be doing, hanging Christmas lights for the second quarter on Saturday, and I'm hearing Jeff Van Rapphorst and Tim Healy on the radio, and they're being very, which I like, very honest about how there was lack of in certain places. You know, you had a kicker that missed a field goal. Jace Feely comes in, so you have some issues there. There could be an injury there. You know, it's not all pitchforks up and go Devils and all that nonsense. So the game, you know, we have bragging rights for another year. Yeah, great. Go put up a billboard on I-10 for a team that is not bowl eligible, for a team that is under investigation, for a team that's going to move their coach because you lost to a team that 2 years ago you beat 70-7. Eyeball test right now says that U of A is playing better than ASU, but that's not saying much. No, it's not. The college basketball scene is interesting. I did watch some of UCLA-Baylor yesterday after the Vikings were just getting destroyed by Dallas. And UCLA, by the end of the year, they're going to be there. The Maui Classic starts tonight. U of A plays late tonight. My day is going to be jammed up. I've got USA against Wales in the World Cup at noon. I'm going to watch that. Then this afternoon, I'm going to watch some of San Diego State, Ohio State in basketball at Maui. Then I'm going to watch the Cardinals game. Then I'm going to watch some of Arizona against Cincinnati. GCU plays this afternoon. I have no life today. I'm just going to watch sports all day. Sounds like a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. But that's what we do. And we're going to produce a TV show today. The Suns game, I saw some of that yesterday afternoon. You know, they're 10-6. Chris Paul didn't play again. Monty made an interesting comment after the Utah game Friday night. I did not see the Utah game Friday night, but friends said, oh, man, it was so entertaining. It was so much fun. But Monty said probably riding Devin a little too hard. Last year, we saw where the team was not really ready to go from the opening jump against New Orleans, and then Dallas just wore them out. Whether it was COVID or not, I don't know. That was a long time ago. But it just feels like Monty's trying to do a better job of limiting minutes. And DeAndre is still, like yesterday, his stat line wasn't anything to get excited about. Just kind of taking up space, doing his thing, big man. Suns are, don't really believe that you're worth the max deal. And so here we are. So I still believe that when it gets to the trade deadline, this roster, the way it's constructed right now, there's going to be changes. I don't think there's any doubt that there's going to be changes. It's just how big will those changes be? All right, in the USA World Cup game against Wales, I'll be watching that later today. But next, we are going to Mexico City, where Mark McClune, sports director at CBS5 and Arizona's Family, and Gibby Parra are out on the street. They are going to join us to give us a preview of what the vibe is like in the game tonight in Mexico City between the Arizona Cardinals and the 49ers. And then John Wilner, our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man. He is Jared Nielsen. He is steering the ship right into the rot. No, he's not. He's doing a good job. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, let's go to Mexico City. Mark McClune, drug along Gibby. Gibby Parra at a tree lighting in the Anthem outlets on my social media, and Mark McClune out in the community. Look at you two with Channel 3 and Channel 5, Arizona's Family in Mexico City. Guys, what is going on? What is happening?
Here's the thing. No, Brad, if it wasn't for Mark, I don't know how we'd survive in Mexico City.
Yeah, right.
I would be lost. You know, his Spanish from seventh grade on got us everywhere we needed to be. All access pass when you're hanging out with Mark McClune. I'm just saying.
All right, Gibby's having some fun. Come to Mexico City with Gibby Parra. Go anywhere with Gibby Parra. The man's a celebrity. Every street corner, all I hear is, Gibby! Gibby! I mean, it's fantastic. We're having a good time down here and ready for some football.
Where is Gibby taking you, Mark, that you're like, this could be trouble? Where is he taking you?
We've been on TV the whole time. We're just on the street corner. We're going to go to Stadio Azteca. I think we went to Starbucks. This is, you know how these work trips are.
I was going to say, Brad, you've been with me on many of these trips, and we've been together where at the end of the day, we kind of reflect back on what we do. But a lot of times we're busy, and especially you, you're always on the phone trying to get the next person live with us. That's kind of like what we're doing right now. As a matter of fact, we just bumped into Kay Gallego, who's about to go into a meeting with Michael Bidwell, because the Greater Phoenix Business Leadership Forum is out here as well. When you think about what this is going to mean for the Valley, it's a big impact all the way around. And not, oh, by the way, they're playing Monday Night Football.
No, that's what it sounds like, because I hear Ducey's down there, so he's going to be at the game tonight. So the economic side of it, you guys, the three of us, we get it, that it's much bigger. Like Jerry Colangelo used to pour that into me. He's like, Brad, it's not just the game. It's heads on beds. It's rental cars. It's people coming to the community. And, you know, the trade partner and all of that, the business side of it, it sounds like you guys have been right in the middle of that. And I just saw where Ian Rapoport said Colt McCoy's probably going to be the guy tonight, not Kyler. So what do you guys make out of the game?
Well,
I just ran into guys. I just ran into guys right there at the Starbucks. They were excited about it.
Yeah,
they were excited. They go, you know what? I think we have a better chance with Colt than Kyler. And you saying as a Texas guy, you kind of like the idea.
Well, just watching Colt McCoy, how his college career ended in the Rose Bowl. Excited for him to have another chance on a big stage like this. I think if Kyler's hamstring isn't 100%, that impacts his game. With offensive line the way it is, they're going to have to get the ball out quick. The Cardinals have their hands full tonight against the Niners team that added Christian McCaffrey. And I, you know, is everybody a decoy on the team? You could double team Debo, you could double team McCaffrey. Jimmy G made his way through the lobby last night. There's a zillion Niner fans out here ready to cheer on their team that are locals. This is going to feel like a Niner home game. And I feel like if Colt McCoy and the Cardinals could pull this off, this might be one of those, you know, kind of all-time Cardinal wins where they were able to make something out of nothing.
Okay, so let's just go down that path. And if you guys have to go, just blow me off. Okay, I'm good with that because I know the business. We got live
at the top of 10.
4 minutes. Okay, we have a couple more minutes. All right, so let's just play this out. Colt McCoy comes in, takes the team. They get a victory tonight on the road. Do we have a quarterback controversy in Arizona? Gibby.
You do, and here's the reason why. I mean, I know you spent a lot of money on him, but if you're Cliff Kingsbury, your offense then works, right? They called him an offensive genius. They said he was in there, but we just haven't seen that. Well, we saw a 10-0 start last year for it to fall back on the back end of it. But if Colt does what Cliff has his offense meant to do, how can there not be? Because then the question is, why can't Kyler see the same thing Colt is seeing? And why can't he hit the receivers the way he is? And why is the offense not running as smooth as it is with Colt? So I say yes.
Mark?
And, you know, I asked Kyler on Wednesday if sitting down and watching Colt for a game had helped him at all. And he kind of dodged the question a little bit, which made me think that that's sort of entered his mind. I think short term, yes. Long term, no, based on the checks of the Cardinals organization is writing and that Kyler Murray is cashing. Gibby's actually going to go up to a forum with Michael Bidwell here in about 20 minutes. You should ask him that. You know, is there a quarterback controversy based on the payroll here?
And here's the thing, and we already know what Michael Bidwell and how he answers. He'll give me a quick smile looking at me first, and then he'll answer me the way he, you know, instead of creating anything. But the big deal is, you know, they're hearing it. If we're hearing it, if they're talking about it at the Starbucks two blocks away from here, you better believe if Colt McCoy beats this Niner game, which everyone, it's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. Stadio Azteca with 80,000 fans. Most of them Niner fans, unfortunately, and they pull it off. I think it's going to be a big win and a huge upset, even though it's a home game for the Cardinals.
All right, last question. I'll get you guys out of here because I know you got to go on the air. Best meal that you've had down there. And I want you to include what you had to drink, okay? So best meal with drink. And did you exceed the per diem of the company to do this said meal? Gibby, start with you.
This is good. Real good.
Here it is. I need you to turn around and look this up, all right? I'm not going to tell you what it is. It is the fine Mexican cuisine of Chapulín, okay? Chapulín.
Okay.
That's what I had last night, Chapulín.
Okay.
Look it up. I had a lot of those. Now, just to give you an idea, in America, it's popcorn, peanuts, and Cracker Jacks. Here, it's Chapulín.
Okay. Nothing to drink with Chapulín.
Oh yeah, there you had to have you got to have tequila and something else to kind of take that down with it, because it's When in Mexico.
And Mark, best place you've eaten? Was it Chapalín? Was it?
Well, after watching Gibby eat Chapalín, I wasn't hungry for a little while. But we would like to thank Bird Gang Travel because they did hook us up with some steak. I think we had some carne asada.
Yeah.
And met our friends David Brandt from the AP, Kent Summers, and Jose Romero from the Arizona Republic last night. And had a cerveza.
The only one missing is you, big fella.
Yes, yes. Come on down.
I just do my little thing here in the corner, and I'll show up at some stuff. But you guys are brilliant. You're great. Go do your thing. I appreciate the time. Have fun tonight. Thanks. My brothers at Arizona Family from CBS 5 and Channel 3, Mark McLuhan and Gibby Parra in Mexico City Cardinals tonight. We're back with more after this timeout. All right, time to chop it up with John Wilner. And there's so much to chop up. Some of the stuff I'm going to ask John, he can't answer because he's a Heisman Trophy voter. And we are not supposed to reveal who we are voting for. I am one as well. We cannot reveal. So for those of you saying, oh, you're dancing around it. Yeah, we're dancing around it. Have you made up your mind, John, on who you're going to vote for the Heisman?
No, I have not. I think about it every once in a while, but I don't actually sit down to do the research, look at all the stats and the data, until the last weekend, right? Our votes are due the day after bowl selections.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, what is that? Monday, December 5th, I guess, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will, probably that morning, I'll just sit down and spend a couple hours going through everything. The final weeks are so important. I mean, part of being a Heisman winner is playing well on the big stage. And these last couple weeks are the biggest stage. Caleb Williams, USC's quarterback, certainly helped his chances with that performance against UCLA. Then he's got one against Notre Dame this week and then the Pac-12 championship. So, I mean, he's certainly in the running. It's the first time the Pac-12 has had a serious contender since Stanford tailback Bryce Love in 2017.
Could they have two contenders? Bo Nix. Is Bo Nix somebody that you look at? Or, can't make the case for him after how the season opened? Or is it how you finish?
I think that it's tough to make the case for Nix now after the Washington game. That second loss, it helps to be a playoff contender, right? To have either a zero or a one next, in the loss column. Nix has been great, but I think he lost some momentum. I don't know that means I'm going to eliminate him. I've got to look at things, but nationally, I get the sense that he's lost a little bit of momentum. I think, we'll see how Ohio State does because C.J. Stroud, their quarterback, certainly is on the short list of contenders.
Sure. Let's switch over to the Final Four in the CFP. USC's chances are very good now, I think. They just have to take care of business. They did it on a big stage. I haven't seen the TV number yet. Have you?
No, I don't think we'll get that till maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, it's got to be huge.
Huge.
Astronomical. And it does show why the Big Ten wanted UCLA and USC, that late night window to keep people gravitated. That's what I'm going to be looking at and say, wow, that is a number that would make it work. On that end, with USC, they need some help. Is it as simple as the loser of the Ohio State-Michigan game is out, USC wins out and they're in? In your opinion, is that how it goes?
Probably. I do think if USC wins out, they're going to be in because you finish with a victory over three straight ranked teams. You're a 12-1 Power 5 champion. You've got USC's pedigree, big name coach, big name quarterback. I think they're in if they win out. Now, I'm not sure they're going to win out. I think Notre Dame is going to be a very difficult game for them, and the Pac-12 championship will be tough as well. But if they do finish 12-1, I think they'll get in. They got a big break with Tennessee losing to South Carolina because now Tennessee is not going to be a one-loss SEC runner-up.
Right.
I do think that USC needs Ohio State to beat Michigan. I think if that is a close game, let's say Ohio State loses by 3 points, Ohio State could end up being in trouble for the Trojans, especially because Ohio State also beat Notre Dame. So then you could get in a comparative score thing. And how is USC's final number against the Irish going to compare to Ohio State's result against the Irish? That would be problematic. I think if Ohio State wins, that will help the Trojans.
Okay, let's go down this scenario. Let's say TCU finishes undefeated. And let's say that the Ohio State-Michigan game is one-sided. Better way is close. And then USC wins out. Does TCU drop out? They take the Big Ten team, better TV deal, better name recognition, better notoriety. Does TCU get the short stick? Or, no, if they went out, they're in.
Well, I think if TCU is undefeated, they're in. If SC is 12-1, they're in. Then you got the Big Ten winner, the Ohio State-Michigan winner.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Georgia, right? Mm-hmm. So in that case, then, you know, does Clemson get in? ACC's not very good.
No, Clemson can't get in, John.
No, I don't think so. So I think that the ACC would be left out. The one potential problem in that scenario going forward is, what if LSU wins the SEC championship? If LSU beats Georgia, mm-hmm. they're probably in, and Georgia's obviously in. So that's how the SEC gobbles up two, and then either TCU or USC is out. But if Georgia wins the SEC championship, it's going to be Georgia, the Big Ten winner, USC, and TCU in the situation you described. And then everybody is, you know, then it becomes for USC and TCU, who's the fourth seed? Because neither of those teams want to play Georgia.
Right, right. Well, and if Michigan beats Ohio State 17-16 on the final play of the game, how do you leave Ohio State out?
Well, then in that situation, it'll be a big debate. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. You can find all of his content, Wilner Hotline. It's on the website, sports360az.com. Great having a national voice like John, covers all things within the Pac-12. Widely regarded, widely respected. As we come into this week of the Territorial Cup, so I kind of look at the Territorial Cup like this. I didn't go to ASU. I didn't go to U of A. I don't care who wins. I really don't. It gets nasty with some alums, but they always stick it in a bad TV window in the middle of the day on a secondary tier network. If we're talking about outside of Arizona, does this thing really carry much weight at all? Because I think that nationally people like, is it the Wildcats from Tempe and the Sun Devils from Tucson? Announcers still screw that up. John, make something out of this for me about what this rivalry is nationally.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have a whole lot of national impact at all. I mean, I think it'll probably do pretty well this week because it's on Friday, mm-hmm. right? And so Friday is a big viewing day. The Apple Cup, the Washington-Washington State rivalry, has traditionally been on Friday, and it does very well in the TV ratings. And I would expect Territorial Cup will as well. It's a prime spot there. But in terms of, you know, appointment TV, whether it's Friday or Saturday, it is not appointment TV for folks outside of Arizona. It's very much a local rivalry. And that's mostly because it never has any, resonance for the Pac-12 championship or any kind of playoff significance. It's the two teams just haven't been good enough, right? If they were, you know, if it was a little bit like the Apple Cup where Washington, you know, has been a New Year's Six team a whole bunch, and a playoff team and a Pac-12 title contender, then it takes on bigger significance. But really, it's just a in-state rivalry with a lot of great history and a lot of nastiness. Yeah. And it'll do well this week just because of the Friday TV window.
Okay, U of A losing, crapping the bed to Washington State, just not showing up. Or it's Washington State's defense is that good, which I think they are. Is it already a successful season for Jed Fish? You're going to write like your spring football preview in March, and it's the Wildcats. Win or lose this game? Is it already successful, or will this be like, well, it was uneven? You know, they didn't beat their rival. How do you approach it for U of A and where they are right now coming into this game?
Yeah, this is something I have been thinking about. I had originally thought, you know what, if they're only going to win, say, 3-4 games, they need to beat ASU for it to be successful. And I think without knowing how that game's going to turn out, it's tough. You know, what if it's a 1-point loss? What if it's a 1-point win? That kind of thing. The victory over UCLA, though, changes it a little bit. That was a real big time win on the road against a ranked team that was in the playoff hunt. So to me, that kind of offsets a loss for Arizona in the Territorial Cup and would still make it a successful season for Jed Fish. even, you know, 4-8, lose to ASU. Yeah, but you beat UCLA. You beat them on the road. You beat them when they were in the playoff hunt. So I kind of feel like unless Arizona gets blown out, it's a successful season.
Yeah, and they've already quadrupled their win total. And they've convinced recruits, national recruits. Delora, I would say, is a national name that said, you know what, I'm going to leave Washington State. I'm going to go to Tucson. You know, they've gone out in the portal and shown the receivers, the recruiting class, some national names said, I'm going to go to Tucson.
Yeah.
It's not even been 2 years since 70-7. People forget that.
It's crazy how the programs have flipped places, right? I mean,
like that.
Arizona is in much better position than ASU. ASU's got this uncertainty with the coaching search and the NCAA investigation. You know, and certainly ASU's problems the last year and a half have helped Fish, right? ASU has been irrelevant recruiting high school players, essentially, and even somewhat in the transfer portal because of all the uncertainty. And there's no question Fish has done a great job taking advantage of it. He's used his own background with all his coaching stops to help attract players. So it is remarkable how things have turned for the two programs.
All right, before I get you out of here, talking with John Wilner. Last week we discussed the UCLA potentially not being allowed to go into the Big Ten. TV negotiations, you are all over that. The TV contract is paramount for the Pac-12 to be sustainable. The longer this drags out, are there wandering eyes if it doesn't get fixed or finished off in a hurry? One. Two, anything new now that UCLA has been delayed until next month, the hearing?
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody's going to get wandering eyes. I expect that they're going to get this thing wrapped up before Christmas, you know, before the university president's break for 2 weeks and all that kind of deal. But it's certainly an important date is December 14th, right? That's the University of California Regents have put off until December 14th a final decision on whether they're going to block UCLA's move or not. I don't believe they're going to block it. And I think that the Pac-12 media deal is going to end up being concluded within a week, say, of December 14th. So it'll right in that 14th to 20th, 21st window before the presidents all take off. That's what I expect. I don't think there's any wandering eyes because of the time it's taken. I think everybody is on board with at least hearing what the offer is going to be, the final offer from the networks, and then a decision will be made. And I still believe the most likely outcome is that the 10 schools are going to sign a deal together to move forward. And it will be, you know, 6-7 year deal. So it'll conclude right around the time the Big Ten's deal does and the Big 12's deal does.
And the number on that needs to be where, John? What does the price tag need to be so there aren't wandering eyes?
Well, it certainly needs to be, you know, right about where the Big 12 is at worst, which is $31.7 million per school per year. I mean, I don't know that any Pac-12 schools are going to leave if they're a million below that. But I also think that their expectations are that they're going to come in ahead of it. Now, whether that means they're ahead of it by, you know, a million or ahead of it by 5 million, I'm not sure. I'm not as optimistic as they are internally. But certainly, I think a lot of schools are expecting something in the mid 30 million range, which would put them ahead of the Big 12.
All right. Good stuff there. Have a happy Thanksgiving, if you can take all that in.
You do as well.
And I appreciate you coming on with us every week. So enjoy time with your family, John.
It's been fantastic. I appreciate you having me. You know, hopefully Territorial Cup at least will be, you know, have some drama, right? Just we don't want a blowout. Blowouts in rivalry games are bad.
Yes, I agree with you on that. There's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.